Clean in Christ. Clean in Christ. So here's the question for the morning. Since we're finishing Hebrews, the chapter this morning, the sermon is about Hebrews 13, the last chapter. The question is, what does Hebrews 13 and Easter and hand sanitizer and clean in Christ, how does that all work together? What's the deal with that? And the answer is, you know, there is a connection. And that's what I'm going to explain. I'm going to talk about the book of Hebrews and summarize that, something about Old Testament, Easter, and then about this clean in Christ thing. That's my message for today. At the end, there's a little twist, so we'll see what happens, huh? It's like it's an adventure. We're finishing today a sermon series that has lasted 13 weeks because in the book of Hebrews, there's 13 chapters, and it's a great book. You should read it. We should preach about it. That would be a great idea. Wait a minute, we did. So this morning, I'm talking about Hebrews 13 because this is the last in the series. And in that chapter, it's a summary chapter. It's not so much a letter as it is, it's a sermon. And in the last chapter 13, the writer is wrapping up. And what has he talked about for this whole book? He's addressing his comments to not all Christians, just the people who have been Israelites, the children of Israel, the Hebrew people, because their frame of reference is really different than the Gentiles. Their frame of reference is Old Testament and sacrifice and lots of laws. And what was that all about anyway? Well, you could think of that Old Testament sacrificial system as more than just killing animals. You could think of it as a way that man would approach God. It was a way to pay a price, to ask for and receive what? A lot of different things. What was all involved in that? Let me search for it. Forgiveness, atonement, a relationship with God, a fresh new start, or you could say the word clean. Clean is a really interesting word to me. I learned, because I prepared to research, that in the King James Version of our Bible, the word clean is mentioned 133 times in 117 verses. There's lots of references in the Bible to being clean. And to give you an example, I'm going to reread briefly the Old Testament reading for the day. You didn't hear it, and also the gospel for the day. The Old Testament is in Ezekiel. It's in your bulletin for a reference if you don't remember it. But the entire system of laws was made to sort of cleanse. And in this section of Scripture, Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24 and following, verse 25, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities. Verse 29, I will save you from all your uncleanness. You get the point. I'm just making the point. There's a way of understanding coming before God as wanting to be clean. In fact, Christianity today, this message from the death of Jesus Christ, we remember on Good Friday, to the resurrection on Easter morning, the unbelievable message that Jesus is alive. Mary says she saw him. What? No, that can't be. There's a movie, Risen, that I mentioned I saw recently. Just a great way to sort of experience that. Oh my goodness, I can't believe this is actually happening. I saw him die, and now he's alive. Unbelievable. But that message has now spread worldwide, so it's the largest religion in the world, in the history of the world. About one-third of the 7 billion people on the face of the earth are Christian in one way or another because they believe in Christ. That transforming thing happened as people understood a new relationship. So the Old Testament concept of being clean to how you come into this Christian faith, you're baptized. What is that? It's a symbolic washing. If you're a Baptist, you're immersed. If you're a Lutheran, you're sprinkled. But either way, it's washing. there's a washing thing. That's the entry thing. Now I'm clean. It's a big deal. And then interestingly, we heard it briefly. There's a lot of things going on. The text in Mark chapter 1, verse 45, verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees. And what did he say? He didn't say, Jesus, I'm a leper. Would you please cure me from leprosy? Wouldn't you think that would be the request? No. That's not what he said. He asked for something very specific. He says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. What he was asking for is to be clean. And Jesus said, I am willing. Be clean. He asked for cleansing. He received cleansing. Yes, he wasn't a leper anymore. It was a miraculous healing. But it was more than the physical thing. He was now in a relationship with the Son of God. There's a movie out about miracles. Jennifer Garner's in it. I haven't seen it. Anybody seen the movie? Yeah, some of you have. So we know if you've lived on the earth for any amount of time, sometimes people are healed miraculously. And I heard that there's an effort to sort of document all the miracles in healing. I saw a miracle like that when I was in, was a fundraising consultant in the churches, I remember, at St. Paul's Lutheran in Orange, California during a campaign a couple of decades ago. One of our elders had something on a sonogram, and we prayed for him. It was gone. It was mystifying. You know, it was measurable. It was there, and then it was gone. So, I mean, I and maybe some of you have personally seen miraculous healings. And my point in that is on Easter, what's happening here is more than just the miraculous physical healing. There's something universal, big picture that's connected with forgiveness, with atonement, with a right relationship with a God who knows you and loves you. So we're just, for this morning, summarizing that in the word clean. And that's why you all have, or if you don't, you can pick one up, a little hand sanitizer that says clean in Christ. Now, here's the secret to this. We pastors talked about what we could do, and remember the towels last year? That was cool, right? Towels? Well, if you're here on Easter, you know, we're playful. We'd like to have a good time. So we're giving you stuff. One of the things you have is a connection card. It's in your bulletin. You've used it or not, but if you're a guest, you can tell us if there's something we can tell you. It's a way to be connected. The other thing we have, if you're a visitor or a guest, is this really cool cup that's filled with candy. There's colorful eggs, there's candy inside it. Who wouldn't like candy? And information about the church. But this is a quality mug. You can use this for years. You know, first class. Free stuff, number two. Number three, what we have for you is this thing. And who couldn't use a hand sanitizer? My wife, Kathy, loves these things. Now they're free. You've got one. It says clean in Christ. It's got our logo on it. It's just a cool thing, and you're hearing how it relates to the Bible. So that's number three, but here's the fourth thing. We have for you a better gift than all those, because I'm going to give you an opportunity to think about your own identity. When I think of clean in Christ and the hand sanitizer, I think of something we could call ourselves. I'm going to ask you to think about your very own name, your very own identity, and I'm inviting you this morning to give yourself an additional name. Your name might be, I am clean in Christ. Your name could be summarized in three words or one or five, but there's a powerful thing in summarizing. There's just a powerful thing if you think of all the things you're doing in life. I had a coach once in an earlier life who just insisted I think through my life's purpose. And I finally came up with two words, significantly helpful. That's who I wanted. Not rich, not this or that, not any, just those two things. It takes you a long time to think through this. Summarizing is a powerful thing. It gives you a sense of purpose and direction. This church, I can say this because I'm new here, This church is a cool church. It spent a lot of time thinking through its identity and mission, so much so, and it's so effective, that the last time I preached, I asked if anybody knew the mission statement, and a young boy in the first row had it memorized. How cool is that, huh? But not only that, it's on the wall out there. Wait, there's more. It's on the outside of the building. Our mission statement as a community, we have like a name tag. It's a badge. We're going to reach out and bring people to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. We know who we are, and that's a powerful thing. My question to you this morning is, do you know who you are? If you're not sure, I'll tell you, you are loved by God. You are redeemed by Christ. One way to think of this, just one way, is to say that you are clean in Christ. That could be your name. It's not just a label on a hand sanitizer. It could be your very own badge, your very own name tag. But better than me suggesting what that would be for you, I'm asking you now to spend just a few minutes thinking of what your name would be. It could be three words, could be more or less, but it's a powerful thing for you to think through, what is my name? And that's our real gift to you this morning. That question, who are you, is the most powerful thing I can imagine that we at this church can give to each one of you. If you're a lifelong member here, if you just showed up here for the first time, if you're here because somebody made you come, I don't care. You're here and we're going to provide a blessing for you that is powerful. And you may remember for the rest of your life. Where'd you get that new name? It was Easter morning at Community of Christ, St. Luke's and Federal Way. That's where I thought about who I was. Identity is a really powerful thing. If I had to give myself a three-word name, it would be loved by God. And I feel that deeply because I feel so fortunate to be healthy. I worked in a nursing home for a while. You know, I'm glad I'm ambulatory. I can walk, you know, you appreciate these things. I'm glad to be here as an intentional interim pastor at St. Luke's. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be married to a woman I really like. How cool is that? You like your spouse? That is just too good to be true. I have a family and grandkids. I really genuinely feel that I am loved by God. That's how I feel. And then I'm going to ask you to think of the name your parents gave you. I was named David, and it turns out that in Hebrew, David means beloved. So my parents did a good job. I like that name. It fits. You may or may not like the name that you have, that your parents gave you. So this morning you have an opportunity to relabel yourself, to rethink who you are in Jesus Christ. What a powerful gift that is. Permission to rename yourself. Now here's a funny thing. Bruce Jenner decided to give himself a new name, right? Now, forget for a minute how you might feel about that. Regardless, that's a powerful thing to re-identify yourself. It just is. It's a powerful thing. You have this morning that same powerful opportunity. It's our gift to you, that powerful opportunity to rethink who you are. On this Easter morning, across the world, one-third of the human beings on the face of the earth call themselves Christians. That cross, a symbol of painful, humiliating death, is now a symbol of victory because of Jesus Christ. This Easter morning, we celebrate life eternal, the victory of life over death. And in this church and this morning, we give you this gift that we pledge to you, not just this hand sanitizer with the label clean on Christ, we pledge you this opportunity to determine for yourself your own future, your own name, your own identity. It's my prayer for each of us this morning. We understand we are loved by God. We are blessed. We are clean in Christ. May God grant we receive all those blessings that Jesus has in mind for us. May God grant that in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may that peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.